We don't turn the pulpit mic on because we always use our lavalier mics, but today that will be a bit distracting, I believe. So here we go. Now that I have a child, I find myself once again working the games on the back of those restaurant placemats for children. A word find, a crossword puzzle, a maze. I hadn't worked a maze in years. And now Willa and I sit there and try to figure out which way to draw the line to get the bear to the pot of honey. As a child, I always found the maze the least satisfying of all the games. It usually became messy with my pencil lines tracing back over themselves. No matter how hard I tried to see ahead, the pathways were so tightly packed, it was hard to tell where they led. There were so many dead ends, so many turnarounds. It wasn't neat like the other games that you could figure out in your head before committing anything with the pencil. It wasn't easy and orderly, the way I liked things in my mind, on paper, in life. But of course, real life is messy. In the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus feeds 5,000 people plus and compares this windfall to the manna the Israelites had received centuries before when they wandered in the wilderness. It seems the listeners' ideas about manna had been all neatly organized and placed in a theological box, a nice straight-sided crossword where everything fits just right. Manna was God's way of looking after the people of Israel. They received the blessing every day until they finally reached the promised land, the end. Amen. Then Jesus gives this very long monologue about bread of life. And it starts out nicely, but it ends with the command to eat his body and drink his blood. Now, for Christians who have heard this language for millennia, Jesus' speech is not so shocking. But to Jesus' original audience, his speech was anything but neat and orderly. It was frightening and messy. When many of his disciples heard it, we are told, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" Obviously, the cannibalistic references didn't help. But I think they also just didn't like the way that he was messing with the old stories, scribbling outside the lines, making the sensible puzzle of life they'd imagined into a much more complicated maze. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Now, these were not mere hangers-on who walked away. The writer calls them disciples. They were real followers who had probably been around for a while. And now they were walking away. They liked the talk of Jesus. They liked the idea of Jesus, but this messiness of Jesus, it was just too much. "Does this offend you?" Jesus asks. Apparently, yes. Then Jesus turned to the 12, the closest, most constant group. "Do you wish to go away as well?" he asks. Peter's answer is one of my favorite of his lines in scripture. He says, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. If they'd really taken the manna story to heart, they'd have remembered what a meandering story it was. If those long ago Israelites had walked in a straight line to the Holy Land, it would have only taken them a few weeks. But they struggled with each other. They fought with their leaders. They didn't like God anymore. They couldn't agree on anything. And they wandered in a very messy way for a generation. Followers of Jesus, at our best, have understood that life does not travel in straight lines. It throws us curves of one kind or another all of the time. No matter how hard we try to make things straighten out, we just don't have that kind of power. Cancer, a broken relationship, a sick child, an accident, a job loss, conflict, an international financial crisis, an abusive spouse, bad news, bad memories, a death. These are not straight line problems. They are a maze. The words of eternal life aren't just the ones that fit on a desk plaque or that get tossed into a political campaign. They're not always simple, cute, easy to hear. The words of eternal life that Christ offers remind us that life is not simple. Solutions to our problems are not always straightforward. It is exactly because Christ's words ring true that we cannot leave. Where would we go? Who else will tell us the truth about life? Who else has lived the truth about life so fully? John's gospel begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." For Christians, there is something about the Word that we cannot seem to find anywhere else. The gospel words of eternal life go straight to the soul. The words don't straighten the maze, really. But when we are winding our way around it, retracing our steps, losing our way at times, stumbling outside the lines, we try not to feel utterly lost. We are often on a winding and convoluted path, confusing, frightening, difficult, maze-like. But we have come to believe that somewhere on that path, truth can be heard. So we stay and we listen. Amen.